views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Grassroots Advocacy Radio, where your host, Marsha Padilla Goad, will leave you feeling empowered, aware, and knowledgeable of what may be impacting your lives and communities politically, but without taking a political position. Get ready, really understand and discover the power you hold as a voter and how you can use your voice to educate lawmakers and influence pending legislation. Grassroots Advocacy Radio is a space for conversations that will educate, empower, influence, and engage listeners, no matter what you may be for or against, or even of a particular political party affiliation. Now is your time to find your voice and share it with others. And now, here is your host, Marsha.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marsha Padilla Goad, and you are listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience the power of grassroots advocacy, what it is and the power it has in influencing and in shaping public policy. And also, this show will teach you ways to become more engaged in grassroots efforts in your communities, your state, and certainly at the national level. Joining me for today's show is Ms. Stephanie Vance, also known as the Advocacy Guru. She is the author of 5 books, including 2 of my favorites, Citizens in Action, A Guide to Influencing Government, and the other is The Influence Game. Stephanie is a 30-year veteran of Washington, D.C.'s political scene and has held positions as a lobbyist, grassroots consultant, and congressional aide. Stephanie's experience as a legislative director and as a chief of staff on Capitol Hill led her to found Advocacy Associates, a firm dedicated to helping individuals and organizations be both heard and agreed with in the legislative environment. Stephanie, welcome to Grassroots Advocacy Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Marsha. This is a really important show, and I'm glad to be part of it.
It certainly is a pleasure. And, you know, Stephanie, as I was putting the show together, I thought very deeply how I wanted the show to start. And I think it would be so appropriate to, you know, start the show with defining grassroots advocacy. And the reason why I want to do that, it's because it has been my experience, especially after conducting advocacy workshops, to actually have people come up to me and say, I had no idea that grassroots advocacy involved all of those other types of activities. And so I think for a lot of people, you know, they may have a limited definition of what it is and what it involves. So Stephanie, what is grassroots advocacy?
Well, that, of course, is a large question, but basically I would say that it's any sort of effort to influence policy working from the grassroots up. So I tend to break these things out into 4 specific buckets, if you will, all of which have a role in grassroots advocacy. The first is education. So as you mentioned, policymakers do need to understand the issues. And grassroots advocates can play a great role in helping them do that. I also think, you know, there's something kind of in the public relations realm, which is making sure that legislators not only understand you and what you want, but also feel positively about that. Because believe it or not, even if they know what it is you do, they may not immediately feel positively about it. And then there's sort of the transactional advocacy, which is what most people think of when they think of advocacy. Basically going and directly communicating with legislators and asking them to get engaged. And it doesn't always have to be legislators. It can be, you know, people at agencies, you know, even on the local level, you can advocate at your city council. Sometimes I advocate at my spouse. Doesn't always work that well. But that's advocacy, is trying to get the decision maker engaged. And then the fourth bucket I kind of think about is lobbying, which is what people mainly think about when they think about this work. And that, to me, is what the professionals do. They're the ones who are keeping track of the 10,000 bills that are introduced, figuring out the ones that might impact you as a citizen, and you know, helping you understand when to get engaged in that. So to me, advocacy is all of those pieces, but at its core, it's citizens being engaged in the process.
That's excellent. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking of my next question for you, because, you know, a lot of people think you have to go to school for training to become an advocate. And a lot of people just don't realize how, you know, simple it is to make a difference. So I want you to tell us, do we need any special training to become an advocate?
Well, and actually, it's frankly, it's better if you don't, because a sort of organic citizen message when it comes to grassroots advocacy is really much more powerful in your lobbying or your efforts to affect change, sometimes than a professional lobbyist. There was a study that was done by the Congressional Management Foundation several years ago asking legislators and staff people what influences them the most. And the answer was invariably in-person issue visits from constituents. Now, you know, when you do this kind of work, you know, it's always good to understand how to develop your story and make it really compelling. And those are some of the things I usually talk about in my work. But, you know, you don't have to have any special training. And again, it's much better if you don't.
I agree. You know, it's amazing how one voice can make a difference, and there are just a number of things that we can do to, you know, be informed and to make an impact, you know, in our communities, on the national level, and just making an impact in other people's lives in general. So thank you so much for that. Stephanie, we are actually going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we will continue our discussion. So let's stay tuned. You are listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha Padilla-Goad. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will explore more about the power of grassroots advocacy. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Introducing New Soul Science, an introductory course with Ruby Betty, offering profound wisdom alongside radically simple concepts and techniques that collapse time, allowing instantaneous personal transformation. The foundational techniques of this introductory course reveal the profound inner ability each human has to access and fulfill their individual soul script or soul promise. Awakening this ability leads to the mastery of one's destiny. The concepts are totally original, immensely powerful, and completely revolutionary. They ignite an infinite fire within each listener, fueling one's ability to live out their unique soul promise. Are you ready to become more aware and access amazing personal transformation? This course is available now at rubybetty.co.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, Visit flyhighliving.com.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern. And for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E-learners.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you. Discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion, Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
We are back on Grassroots Advocacy Radio. I am your host, Marcia Padilla Goad. My guest today is Ms. Stephanie Vance, who is talking with us about grassroots advocacy, what it is, the power it has in influencing and in shaping public policy. And also by the end of this show, you will learn how to become more engaged in grassroots efforts in your communities, your state, and certainly at the national level. But before we continue, I want to make sure that our listeners know how to contact you, Stephanie. Can you tell our listeners how to contact you?
Absolutely. So my company's name is Advocacy Associates, and it's online, www.advocacyassociates.com. And you can also, my books are available through Amazon. The most recent one, The Influence Game, has the most up-to-date information. And if you want to get in touch with our company, you can also use our email address, which is info@advocacyassociates.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So, you know, Stephanie, in the first segment, we defined grassroots advocacy, and really in a nutshell, it's about reaching the general public to ask them to contact their legislators and other government officials, and about, you know, expressing their concern. And then we learned that anyone can become an advocate. Just know that in order for change to happen, we must first have a vision. We must then have goals and that passion, and also understand how change happens and who makes it happen. So now I would like to shift the conversation to why grassroots advocacy is an important strategy, especially for organizations, citizen groups, nonprofits, trade associations. So, you know, Stephanie, can you tell us why it's important for organizations to invest, develop a grassroots advocacy program, and really, what are the benefits of having one?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of the main ways that legislators and their staff want to hear from citizens. They're, believe it or not, the very first thing they ask when someone walks into an office or contacts them via email is, "Are you from my district?" And you know, associations need to understand that connection with the grassroots citizens in those legislators' districts. And in investing in that, you come up with a much more organic, again, I use that, grassroots organic program to help the legislators understand what citizens need and how things are impacting them in the district. I mentioned the Congressional Management Foundation report, which said that legislators on the Hill, and this is at the state and local level as well, really want to hear from people in their districts, not necessarily lobbyists. There was actually someone who I knew who was on the other side of the aisle from me, who said, you know, I had this situation where, you know, I had a lobbyist who would keep wanting to come in and see me and talk to me and have little conversations with me. And I finally had to say to that lobbyist, you know, no, I need to hear from the people in our district. So I think it's absolutely essential, and it's important to invest in it.
Wow. You know, you kind of answered the second question as well. It's interesting that you say that, you know, lawmakers really want to hear from their constituents. This actually makes a good segue into what our third segment is going to be about, which is, you know, digital social media communication. Because like you said, members want to hear from the people that they represent. And we know that social media has changed that quite a bit. So we can start talking about that now, certainly. And then we can go into our second break. But you know, there was a survey that was conducted by the Pew Research Center earlier this year. And the results of that survey finds that Facebook and YouTube dominate the social media landscape, especially among older adults, by, I would say, a healthy margin of 68%. Now, the survey also finds that younger Americans, some 78% of 18 to 24-year-olds, are prevalent users of Snapchat, and then 71% of this age group use Instagram, with 45% being Twitter users. So in addition to the Pew Research Center survey, a report by the Congressional Research Service reports that 100% of Congress is now using social media to communicate with constituents. So, Stephanie, what does all of that mean for member-constituent communications, mobilizing efforts for organizations, and organizing of grassroots movements? And the reason why I say that's because, you know, at the end of the day, social media has complicated things a little bit, in that instead of just communicating with a constituent, social media has now, you know, made things a little bit more open, and it's kind of really hard to, I would say not hard, but challenging to verify who's a constituent and who's not. So I would love for you to address that for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've hit on a really important point, which is that place-based point. You know, in a democratic society, in a republic, people are represented by specific people. You know, their House representative, their Senate senators, their state representative, their state senators, their city council members, you know, their dog catchers. You know, they're represented by very specific people who are the most interested in what they have to say. And, you know, as you mentioned, in the digital age, you know, with Facebook and Snapchat and all the things the kids do these days, it's very hard to relay that place-based message. So social media interactions tend to be more about developing an agenda, first of all, to help legislators understand why an issue is being raised up to the top of a particular policy concern. And then secondly, it's really, really essential for the organizing side of things. And one thing that, you know, as we're thinking about grassroots advocacy, that we really kind of need to make a distinction is when citizens are grassroots advocates communicating as themselves to legislators. So that's part of grassroots advocacy, right? That's being a citizen advocate. But then there's the piece that's, you know, the organizers of those grassroots efforts. And I tend to think that things like social media are much more useful when you're talking about the people who are organizing the efforts. So, you know, for example, if you've ever been if you ever joined an advocacy group, you will find that, you know, they may have their own social media pages, they may have their own Facebook pages. And, you know, a lot of that is because they are trying to find the people who are going to be the most effective advocates. And, you know, the one important way to actually get a legislator to pay attention, if you're talking about, if you're interacting with them on social media, is to say, I'm a constituent, in your message. I know on Twitter that takes up half of it, but figure out a way to say that because when they see that you're a constituent, that does raise your issue, raise your perspective up a little more in their minds. Mm-hmm. I also think, you know, right now social media is really important because legislators will post things and a lot of times people aren't commenting on them. Or if they are commenting on them, they are all cranky comments, as you might imagine. So if you have something positive to say about a legislator and you see that they're doing something in the district that you think, you know, you like and is wonderful stuff, then, you know, just comment on their page, say, hey, we really love that you're doing this work, and really appreciate you being in the district. And those comments really, you know, they pay a lot of attention to far more than the, you know, I hate talking to you kinds of comments. And I think that goes back to, you know, one of the things we were talking about in the earlier segment about whether associations can achieve their legislative goals without a grassroots advocacy effort, right? Because a lot of associations are now shifting over to social media efforts. And in some cases, you know, they might say, well, if I'm, you know, shifting over to social media, that's not always an effective way to get to my legislators. So why would I have a grassroots advocacy effort to do that? I think that, you know, maybe you could achieve your legislative goals without that kind of effort. It's not impossible, but it's far less likely. There are about 10,000 bills introduced in a 2-year congressional session. And the ones that get the attention are the ones that have the most advocacy, you know, work behind them. And the way that you get people talking about those bills and talking to legislators about those bills is through that kind of grassroots advocacy effort that social media is an essential part of. But I've seen a lot of associations try to replace their grassroots advocacy effort with a social media outreach campaign. And I don't think that's as effective as people would like it to be.
Wow, that's really interesting. And I was actually just thinking about that while you were talking. Certainly, social media has presented a costly way to get your message out and get it out immediately and have it, you know, extend your reach. You know, for let's say a smaller organization with a very small budget and don't have the means to invest in an internal program, you know, would you say that social media is, however, a good place to start?
It's a great, great place to start. And, you know, when I talk to groups about this who are organizing efforts, I would say that, you know, social media can be a great way to figure out who wants to be actively engaged in your issue. You know, it means, you know, 1,000 tweets that all say the same thing tweeted at people's legislators might not, you know, actually do a lot to change the policy directly. But as a person who's organizing a campaign, you might find, oh, you know, these particular people were willing to tweet at their legislators. Let me get in touch with them and see if they're going to be willing to write a letter, go to a town hall meeting, you know, take that next step. So I do think social media can play, you know, a great role, especially in these smaller campaigns where you're still trying to figure out who you want to have be the most active people in it. It's so funny because I was just talking to a client about this who said, well, you know, with social media, we can just do like a regular social media campaign. And so we don't need to do anything about, you know, training our advocates and, you know, having them do personalized emails or having them, you know, do visits in the district. And I just, that always bothers me because, you know, as you pointed out, social media is not as place-based. So people who are receiving those messages, on the receiving end of those messages, don't know that the people that they're talking to are constituents. Right. So yeah, social media has a really, really important role to play. And it's definitely, you know, essential that people, you know, kind of get, you know, get involved in that. I used to actually, you know, several years ago, I used to actually say, you know, no, it's not really that critical. But the Congressional Management Foundation, I mentioned their one of their reports before, did a second report called engaging, or the Social Media Congress, that was it. And they found there that, you know, social media was playing a role in at least raising issues to the top of the attention span. Because like I said, if there's 10,000 bills introduced, you know, someone has to figure out what's important. And a combination of social media and sort of a more traditional grassroots advocacy effort can really help make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, I believe that social media has enhanced greatly the traditional way of doing grassroots advocacy. You know, the next thing I really wanted to talk about was the organizing of movements. And, you know, we know that social media has had a huge impact on the creation, the development of organizations, of grassroots movements, pardon me. You know, now movements don't necessarily wait to get organized anymore, you know. Just happen, you know. One person can take a question or a concern to Facebook or Twitter or YouTube, and that message can go viral. The next thing we know is that a hashtag has been created and people begin to organize. And so there you have it, a new movement is born. That's how quickly things can happen with social media. But then also, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about quantity versus quality, which, you know, as a grassroots advocacy professional myself, you know, that quality factor is so important because you are looking for that constituent who will take a lead and speak up and tell their personal stories and take the time to meet with lawmakers back in the district and to come to Washington if they have to, or if you can find that one person who's willing to testify on behalf of the organization. So I think, you know, social media is a great forum for, you know, extending your reach and certainly to find the quantity of people to amplify, you know, your message. But it should never, ever, ever replace, you know, finding key contacts who can take the lead on the issues for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when we come back, we can talk a little bit more about, you know, the differences between what I call point and click democracy, which is, you know, clicking the button that says click here if you're really mad at your legislator. So you click that button and, you know, you find a petition or something. You know, that's great, but it's not as effective as you're pointing out as, you know, how you can personalize communications. I will say that when I was on the Hill, I would often have, you know, get three personalized letters on something, and that would be what would capture our attention and get us to take action, as opposed to the hundreds of, you know, quantity communications. So I have more stories about that when we get back. So.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm Marsha Padilla-Goad, and you're listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio. When we come back, we will continue our conversation about digital and social media communication. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Ignite your inner magic on Grow Your Soul Radio with Jane Machanga. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Jane Matanga explores how to overcome your fears to help you gain the inspiration you need to awaken your path to joy. Learn the way to life mastery and the enlightened path with Grow Your Soul Radio. For more information on Jane Matanga and her work, visit enlightened-path.com.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
We're back on Grassroots Advocacy Radio. I am your host, Marsha Padilla-Goad. I have Stephanie Vance here with me talking about grassroots advocacy, what it is, the power it has in influencing and in shaping public policy. So Stephanie is now going to talk to us about point-and-click democracy and how to develop a more personalized message.
Stephanie. Yeah, thank you. Point and click democracy is sort of touched on before we took the break. And to me, that is, you know, when an association or someone sends an action alert to, you know, people, their members, you click on the button that says, send a letter that says I'm mad, or, you know, you cut and paste a tweet, that they've already written. It's this way to get people engaged, I guess, so I don't want to tell people not to do it. But it is nowhere near as effective as a personalized communication. And so when people are developing grassroots campaigns, I always encourage them to, you know, if they're going to use this kind of point-and-click democracy approach, use that to find people who are interested in doing more. You know, don't ever assume that it's going to, you know, make a huge change in policy. And, you know, I think we've seen some of this play out recently. And, you know, both sides of the aisle can think about this as a great example. But with the Kavanaugh hearings, we saw that Senator Flake had heard some personal stories, and that impacted his decision making. Now, again, I'm just using that as an example of, you know, how this can work, putting aside whether you thought it should work or not. But it was a great example of, you know, this, how a personalized message can be really helpful. I had a time on Capitol Hill where we were getting legislation to make it a federal crime to steal someone's puppy from a backyard and sell it to a research facility, which one would think you would really need a law to stop people from doing that. But it was controversial because of how the definitions were. You know, some of the breeding organizations thought it might apply to them in some way. But we were getting postcards about this issue, and we got maybe 50 postcards. And, you know, I looked at them and said, oh, that's about 50. And but then we got some personalized letters. We got one personalized letter, and it really went into this woman's story, and she sent a picture of her dog, and I was like, oh, we have to save the puppy. So we had the congressman sign on to the bill, And he actually became very active in animal welfare issues. Wow. So that is a great example of a personalized story making a difference. And if you can work puppies into it, that always helps as well. go ahead.
I was going to say, and I agree with you, that was a really great example of a personalized story. You know, certainly if you can get your member of Congress to relate to you in some way, that's a really good way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, then people are confused, well, how do I develop that message? And to me, there's really four keys to developing that message and really being effective and getting it across. The first one is knowing what you want. Part of the reason why people don't always get what they want, be it, fixing a pothole or passing a federal bill, is because they don't ask and they don't know what it is specifically they want. So they go and they do that, what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, they do that education and they do that public relations. And then they don't get what they want because the person they're educating on the issue doesn't know what they're supposed to do. So that's the first key, is really making sure that you know what it is you want. The second is to make sure that you know who you're talking to. So I think it's essential that whenever you go in to meet with a legislator, a member of the executive branch, really anyone you're trying to influence, that you figure out what matters to them, how they see the world, what issues are most important to them, and see if you can tie your issue to what matters to them. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to have a different message for a more conservative legislator than you would for a more liberal legislator. And it's rarely effective to go in and just yell at them because they don't agree with you. That might get it off your chest and you might feel better, but it's not going to actually change anything. So if you learn something about the legislators and figure out how to connect your issue to what they care about, that's really helpful. And then the third key is knowing, we talked about knowing what you want. We talked about knowing who you're talking to. And the third key is really knowing how to talk to them. And that's where you develop your effective message. I use what I call the SPIT acronym, and people shouldn't take that as, license to spit at their elected officials. It stands for specific, personal, informative, and timely. Mm. So by specific, I mean being very specific about why you're there and what you want. By personal, I mean telling a personal story. How this impacts you as a human being, how something impacts people you care about, how something impacts, the community that you live in. And anything can have a personal story, right? Because usually when you're advocating, it's because of something that impacts you personally or the people you know and love. So that personal story is really essential. And then the I is informative, because as useful as the personal story is, you also want to get some good facts and figures and information behind that. So the thing about informative, though, is that you want to make sure that it's those facts and figures are relevant to the elected official that you're speaking with. Mm-hmm. On the congressional level, for example, members of the House aren't going to care what 3 out of 4 Americans think. They're going to care about what 3 out of 4 people in their district think, or at most their state. And if you're talking to a city council member, they may not care as much about what, the people who live on the other side of the state think about an issue. They're going to care about the people that they represent. So that's what informative is. And then timely is making sure that you're making these asks at the time when you can actually make a difference. We would have people call our office just outraged at something that, a legislator did or didn't do. And they would call after he did it or didn't do it. And I would be like, when really would have been a great time to get this information would have been before the vote, because then we could do something about it. Exactly. Now you're just mad at us.
Yeah.
And then the fourth key, we talked about knowing what you want, who you're talking to, how to talk to them. And then the fourth is how to follow up. Because we would really have people who would come in, they'd talk to us once, they'd ask for $6 billion, and then they'd go away. And they'd come in the next year and they'd say, why didn't I get my $6 billion? And they'd say, well, we've never met you. We talked to you once. You didn't contact us during the year. So yeah, we're not just going to hand over $6 billion. And I would see that happen time and time again. Anyone who, you know, follows up any communication with any elected official, you know, executive branch, whatever, local, state, or federal level, if they follow it up with a thank you and a reiteration of the ask, they will be far ahead of 90% of the people that talk to legislators and their staff. So, you know, those are my four keys to really developing that personal message. So there's the SPIT acronym, and then there's the four keys, which are knowing what you want, who you're talking to, how to talk to them, and then how to follow up.
Mm. Wow. That's brilliant.
I love being called brilliant.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Right. So your expertise in this area is greatly valued in Washington, and I've seen your work firsthand. Thank you so much for, being, a great resource for us and for me for all of these years, actually. You know, before we go into our fourth and final segment today, Stephanie, I would love for you to tell our listeners what you have going on in your world. And also, I want you to tell us about this amazing podcast series, America 2.0.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The America 2.0 thing, I'm super excited about. I'm not personally involved in it any way other than I know the producer, and I think the podcast is amazing. It's kind of a Mr. Smith Goes to Washington meets the West Wing kind of story. And it's a, naive young congressperson comes to D.C., wants to make a difference, is finding it challenging to make a difference, but finds a way to do that in working together with both sides of the aisle and, really making it clear that you can have an impact by working with everybody. It's very professionally done. It's got some big names on it. Dana Bash from CNN, Lawrence Fishburne, who is a Academy Award winner, Patrick J. Adams, who's used to be with a show called Suits. It's just got a huge lineup, and it's amazing. It's a storytelling thing. It's like TV for your ears is how it's been described. And those who are old enough like me to remember, old-fashioned radio shows, it's just like that. So it's called America 2.0, and it's available on all podcast platforms. And I really, if you want a positive story that's extremely well done, it's free. Just go and download it and listen. You will feel much better about how government operates.
Yes, certainly. I've certainly started listening, and I haven't listened in the last day or so, but it's a great story. It really catches your attention and have you thinking about all of the what ifs, and certainly renew your interest in government and your confidence in government, actually. So thank you so much. The link to America 2.0 is also available on my radio profile page. So you could definitely click and download the podcast directly. So we're going to go into our third break, and we'll come back and you'll join us in the fourth segment. So this is Marsha Padilla Goad with Grassroots Advocacy Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we will have a conversation of how grassroots advocacy impacts public policy, such as legislation, and also share with you ways of how you can become more engaged in grassroots advocacy efforts in your communities and in your states and at the national level. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Thank you. Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit DarcyPariso.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
This is Marsha Padilla Goad with Grassroots Advocacy Radio. Welcome back to our show. I am your host, Marsha Padilla Goad, and joining me today is Ms. Stephanie Vance, founder of Advocacy Associates. In this segment, we will continue our conversation about the impact of grassroots advocacy on legislation. We are, you know, we're actually going to talk about a specific way of framing your message and how to use it to make sure that you are communicating effectively. We'll also go into how you can become more engaged in advocacy efforts in your communities.
Well, great. Thank you, Marsha. And the message formula, you know, I talked a lot about spit and four keys and whatever. You know, you always have to remember that you may get only 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 30 seconds to talk to these folks. So I kind of developed a formula that people can use to really make sure that they've got all those pieces in. So the first thing you would do is you would, you know, say, hello, my name is, and where I'm from. So that would be where you say your name and where you're from. It's a pretty easy formula so far, but that really helps the legislator understand that you are relevant to him or her. Mm-hmm. And again, city, state, federal, that's what they want to know is, are you relevant? The next piece of the formula is, I'm here to talk to you about. And that's where you kind of introduce the issue broadly, right? So I'm here to talk to you about you know, my concerns on, you know, climate change, or my concerns on, you know, puppies, or whatever you want to talk about. But you introduce that broadly. Then you would say something like, I believe this is important to you because. Mm. And that's where you work in some of that material that you've learned in the, you know who you're talking to part of your message, of your four keys. If you've learned something about that legislator, like, you know, they're really interested in small business issues, and you know that ties to your issue in some way, try and approach it, you know, by that. And, you know, small business issues is just an example. They've, lots of people have lots of different things that they're interested in. So, you know, knowing of your interest in, I thought this would be important to you too. That's that message. That's why I really hope that you will. And that is where you kind of work in that ask for the first time. So that's why I really hope that you will co-sponsor this bill, introduce a bill, sign on to this letter, vote a certain way. It has to be a very specific kind of ask. It doesn't always have to be a policy ask. It, you know, it can be a what we call a relationship building ask. Mm-hmm. So the ask can be, I really hope that you would come and visit with our group. I really hope that you would be willing to have a town hall on this issue. But it's got to be something specific you want them to do to engage. So then you say, this is, you've said, hello, my name is and where I'm from. Mm-hmm. You've said, I'm here to you about. You've said, I think you'll because. And then you say, this is important to me because. And that's where you tell that personal story. This is important to me because I have, you know, if you're working on a patient condition issue, my mother has this or my sister has this, and this is how it impacts me on a day-to-day basis. So that's mm-hmm. where you tell that personal story. And then you would make the ask in the form of a question. And that is so essential. It's like Jeopardy. If you don't ask it as a question, you're giving them the excuse to just nod and say, thank you very much for coming in. Asking a question makes them switch the little switch in their head that says, oh my gosh, you're asking me a question. I have to pay attention. And that's really where, will you do such and such? That's where you really have to make it a question. A lot of times you'll get, well, I don't know, I'll have to look more into it. You know, you might get a non-answer. That's fine. I strongly recommend not pushing them and pushing them and pushing them right there. That's what your follow-up is for. And actually, if they don't give you an answer, that's great because you are then following up with them to get that answer. So, you know, don't ever, you know, think that you have to get the answer right then in the meeting. Make sure at the end that you exchange contact information. You'd be surprised how many people forget to do that and then no one knows how to contact each other. And then also make sure that you ask what we can do to follow up. So, you know, everybody has a different communication style. Some people like, calls, some people like email, some people like meetings, some people like carrier pigeons. I don't know, but they all care about, you know, getting communicated with in a different way. So it's always good to know that as part of your work. So really that, you know, that's kind of the formula. Hello, my name is and I'm from. I'm here to talk to you about knowing of your interest in. This affects me somehow. Do you think you can? Question. How would you like to follow up? And then, you know, here's my contact information. Yeah. And that kind of, you know, really lays it out for folks in a way to kind of develop a message quickly.
It's interesting you say that your ask has to be in the form of a question, because I've seen a lot of asks, but they're more like demands, you know. I demand, not necessarily I demand, but it's not being asked in the form of a question. And so what I'm seeing, what I usually see are, you know, groups that are, being very frank about what they want, but they're not doing it in a very tactful way. So it's interesting. I've actually, you know, never really thought about, you know, having the ask in the form of a question. And that sounds really powerful to me because, yes, you're right. You're then opening the door for them to respond to you.
Absolutely.
Making a demand, it kind of ends the conversation, so to speak. So that's very interesting. Thank you so much. I, you know, how
I'm interested, and our listeners are interested in knowing how they can become better engaged in their communities. And the reason why I think this segment is a very important segment for our listeners, because there are just a number of ways we can all become more informed, better engaged. And it's just by doing the very simple things that, you know, we kind of do every single day, but really don't think of it as, you know,
being,
you know, an engaged citizen. So what are some of effective ways that, you know, people can be engaged in advocacy efforts?
Well, great. And I think we've talked a lot about a lot of them. Number one, of course, is voting. If you don't vote, you don't get to whine about the outcome. You also want to learn about your government. So I, you know, gave some suggestions on that. You know, obviously communicating to share your views. We've got a lot of calling, writing, visiting, attending a town hall. And perhaps most important, becoming familiar with a nonprofit or trade association that represents your cause, and figuring out how you can participate in the efforts, because they've probably done all of the work and there is literally an association for everything.
Yes, I agree. I agree. You know, and to add to that, you know, as citizens and voters of this great nation, I think it's in our best interest to be informed on the issues and legislation that are being considered. You know, if it is our responsibility to educate our government, because, you know, if we don't share personal stories, if we don't tell them how their actions are impacting our lives and our communities, they won't know how to best represent us. And so I think we have, as citizens, we have the responsibility to be informed and to educate our government officials. So thank you so much for that. And I know we're coming to the end of our show. And I would like to tell our listeners, if you would like to contact me, you can visit my website at dynamicsinpublicaffairs.com. A recording of this show will also be archived and available for download on the website. I would also like to thank you, Stephanie Vance of Advocacy Associates, for your time today and sharing your expertise with us. I want to also thank you all for tuning in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio. Please join me every first Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Next month on Grassroots Advocacy Radio, we'll discuss a number of issues that are impacting communities, and we'll let you know how you can get engaged in those efforts, those specific efforts, and bring more awareness to them. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Grassroots Advocacy Radio, conversations to educate, empower, and engage with Marsha Padilla-Goad. Tune in the first Tuesday of every month 12 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Marsha will continue to educate you on grassroots advocacy and the vital role it plays in the legislative process. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com. That's DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com. See you next time.